It's a matter of fact. It's just you pick up the phone, right from my other truck, 30 to 45 days later, it delivers to your doorstep. Because the only way to really succeed in this business is to have multiple vehicles. One truck, you'll make a couple $100,000 a year. It's great. But you want to make it $1 million a year, you better have several trucks.
Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today, I sat down with James Groves. He's the COO of Hole in the Wall Franchise. This is another non-brick-and-mortar home services brand, easy to execute, profitable, according to the item 19, 32% net, $1.3 million in average revenue from the corporate store in Orlando, Florida. These are the businesses that are scalable, profitable, and almost always overlooked by investors. Folks, there are over 140 million homes in the United States, and 90-plus percent of them have drywall. So when you think about an opportunity, there's nothing more deceptive than the obvious when you think about brands. Does this brand have mass appeal? 140 million homes and over 90% of them have drywall. Every home inspection report, every new construction, every nail pop, every corner bead, every issue with drywall is repaired by this particular franchise opportunity. So you have a lot of potential customers out there. More importantly, the home services business is currently $500 billion, expected to grow to over $600 billion by 2030. Within this $500 billion is the $13 billion and growing drywall repair concept, right? So this is a huge opportunity. This is also a very low investment business. This is $70,000 on the low side. High side range for this investment is $170,000. So you don't need a huge team. You don't need expensive equipment, and you definitely don't need retail space. So on today's episode, we're going to dive into how to start, how to scale, how to dominate in the drywall business, how to generate leads. We get pretty granular, cost to acquire customers, right closing ratios in the home, acquisition strategies, all of those things. So I think you'll enjoy this episode. He was a great presenter, really has a good handle on his business. And I think if you're looking for a low-risk, high-reward business opportunity, this is embryonic, so I caution you, it is an embryonic brand, but it's within an industry that absolutely has proof of concept. Listen in, hope you enjoy the show. Thank you. All right, awesome. Welcome. I appreciate it. I've been looking forward to this one. This is a good one. Hole in the wall. An idiom, right? Are you guys religious, or how did you get the name?
Well, the name actually came up with a friend of ours. Because Bill started his own business doing a painting business for years, Dement Painting, my business partner, Bill. And when he wanted to branch out in the drywall sector, he met with a friend. He said, I got a name for you, Hole in the Wall Gang. And Bill's like, well, I don't like the word gang, but I do like the word hole in the wall. And so the hole in the wall stuck. We are a very religious company. I was a missionary in Africa. My parents are still missionaries, and Bill's father was a pastor, and he's very active in his church. So
really, okay,
but no, hole in the wall was not a religious name. It was definitely a tongue in cheek name really stuck.
It's interesting that you say that, because I wasn't sure where the name. I happen to love like idioms and where phrases came from. I don't know if you know, but hole in the wall goes back to Ezekiel. And mm-hmm. What's interesting, it's Ezekiel 8. 8 is two holes, two circles. And the phrase is, then he brought me to the entrance of the court. I looked and I saw a hole in the wall where he saw corruption, getting a trademark for a phrase that has been used since the Bible. Mm-hmm. How did you pull that off? What did you do?
All right. So, since we have this blessings kind of topic real fast, I will tell you about 5-6 years into us really diving into this, trying to pursue, the growth of the company, I looked at Bill and I go, do you have a trademark on this? And he's like, no. Mm. Hired a trademark attorney. He failed twice to get it trademarked. So the logo, hole in the wall logo. Not the words, just the logo, because the logo itself, has the words in it, so we'd be fairly protected. And at the end, he's like, well, you guys got a trademark. You can't get this trademark. You got to rebrand the name of the company. And we're like, you're nuts. I'm not changing the name of the company. It's too good. The brand is too hot, too quality to get rid of. So I fired him, hired another trademark attorney, a hot shot out of New York. And she said, listen, you might get declined, but we're going to keep pushing forward. And 3 months later, we got approved.
Wow.
For that. And then to take it a next step further is my franchising attorney is also a trademark attorney. And he's like, let's go after the words hole in the wall. Let's go get your service mark, your word mark on the words hole in the wall. And we just got that last year. So
good,
we now
you
have the logo and the words hole in the
wall. All right. That's impressive. And I would have bet against you being able to do that. You know, it was like Trump with, you know, you're fired. You know, people have been saying that way before he was saying it. There's a certain things that you would think a phrase like that you wouldn't be able to do. Good for you. So it's federally registered mark, not only the logo, but the actual hole in the wall as the brand name. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then trying to find the domain name, holeinthewall.com. Mm-hmm. That was another 6 year endeavor. But we got it.
So, I know there's so many brands, to your point. And it, you know, that don't use their name as the URL. They can't, right? Like, look at some of these franchise concepts out there. They'll abbreviate things. They'll put like dev, right? Or just some other, because it's like, I can't have my full name. I got to add something to it like co. It's true.
Yeah.
Like to get a .com in hole in the wall. Are you .com?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, these are people don't realize what goes into building a brand. Because it all matters. The name matters, right? I love the tactful persistence in the face of rejection. I don't hear no, and I like to get what I want. So I give you a ton of credit. It also shows what kind of leader you are, right? Are you going to roll over and that's it? Like, what kind of CEO are you? You know, that's it? You know, you got a little pushback on your name, you're done? Come on. Tell the audience what you do. Tell us, like, level set. What's the brand?
Yeah.
What do you do? What's going on in your world? You got a ton of experience. Mm-hmm. Great background. So share with the audience.
Well, yeah. So Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair, headquartered here in Orlando, Florida. We've been alive for 14 years. We basically started with this end in mind. We knew that when I came to the table, if this was Bill's Drywall Company, I wouldn't be here. It just wasn't a brand that's sellable nationwide. But knowing that Hole in the Wall was a brand with a great logo, a great name, everyone gets it. I've never had someone say a negative thing about the words hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a positive spin. It's a hole in the wall bar or a restaurant. There's a hiking trail, hole in the wall. All these biblical references, you know. And so what we specialize in is we don't do typically the full installation. We're not going in to make a brand new warehouse or build new homes or these large renovations. We focus on the things that are kind of a nuisance. The niche of repairing drywall. Mm-hmm. What happens when little Billy opens the door too hard and you got a little doorknob hole in the wall, you know? Well, sure, as dads, we can probably try and fix it ourselves. But that usually takes about four trips to Home Depot and a bunch of headaches. Or you can call a professional company like Hole in the Wall that comes in, bringing it out of your house in 45 minutes, you know, and it's ready to go. But then you think about the other areas that cause damage to walls. You know, 97% of all of the 140 million homes in America, they all have drywall in the walls and or ceilings. And so it's also fairly brittle. It's like chalk. It's just gypsum. So, you know, it gets damaged. It gets wet. You have a flood. Maybe a water pipe breaks in your home. And now you have to, they do the 2 foot flood cut, you know, throughout the entire house. Well, how do you bring your home back to, you know, livable standards? You need someone like us to come in there and repair that repair.
That's interesting.
We like to say we don't patch, we repair. People think of drywall patches. You ever walk into a building and you're a home and you see the repair of the patch that was done on the wall, but you know, it's you can still see it. That's the patch. When we're done, it's a repair. That damaged area disappears.
I can look behind almost every door and I can see a perfect circle patch from where the doorknob went through it. You could see the wave.
Right.
You could see that the color's not matching. You could see that the mud wasn't applied properly. You can tell. So I like what you're saying.
Exactly. Match.
Yeah. Texture match is critical. A lot of knockdown on walls because there's so many imperfections today.
It's really an art form. You know, it's an art form. My employees are all craftsmen. We train them to be craftsmen for that reason, you know, because you have to have an eye for detail.
This brand fits perfectly into our show. Because we love those easy to execute, profitable, scalable, and almost always overlooked businesses. No one's waking up today And no one this weekend is jumping on the internet to say drywall franchise. No one, right? No one is doing that. It's just not something. These are the overlooked, sweaty startups that make money. And people overlook them and they think they need to go buy a food franchise. When in reality, if you want it exactly, you want to scale something, you want to make money, you want to get through economic cycles, just look around. There's nothing more deceptive than the obvious. You just said it. There's 140 million homes in this country. 97% of them have drywall, gypsum board, right? Sheetrock, whatever you want to call it. They have it.
Yep.
I find it interesting. I work with a lot of realtors and I like to say this to them. I go, what is the number one thing? Number one, found in every home inspection report across America when someone's buying a house. Of course, they like roofing, definitely. What's next? Drywall, nail pops, holes in the wall, corner bead pops, like the joints pop, the tape comes off. I don't think there's an inspection, even on new construction. I built three homes in my life. I'm 53. I built three houses. Every one of them had nail pops, corner bead issues, drywall issues, imperfections. It doesn't have to be an old house. So I love businesses like this where you could just scale it. Tell us a little bit about like what is making you different, right? And I'll share with you, before you answer that question, I want to share with you what I do almost every episode in home services. Jump on the internet, do a Google search for independence in this business, and then call a few of them because no one ever answers their telephone. What was interesting about your business, it was Angie's List, Home Advisor, Thumbtack, all third-party lead aggregation sites, but I really didn't find, quote, a brand. And that's where I think you're seeing an opportunity, highly fragmented, no one is really in there. So give us the why this business, of all the things you could do inside the home, why this?
Well, there's several reasons why we like it. A, it's low startup costs. It's, you can do it from your home. I mean, when we started Hole in the Wall, we were in the home office, you know, with just a little storage unit for scaffolding and such. And it's easily scalable. You want to grow the business, you buy another truck, maybe buy another territory, and you ramp up some more. The thing is that a lot of other home service brands require licensing. You want to be HVAC, you want to be plumbing, you want to be roofer. Right. You need special licensing. We fall under, in most states, a really niche market. We're like handyman, painter. You know, we fall in between. There's actually not a drywall repair code, out there. So we fall under this thing. Well, we don't typically require any kind of like GC style licensing. So we could train somebody who has a little bit of smarts on how to do the repair and start making money right away without having to go through being qualified. I've got friends that own roofing franchises. They're not roofers, but they got to pay someone to qualify their business, right? That's a very costly, thousands of dollars a month expense. But Hole in the Wall, you don't have that. You know, you literally are out doing jobs, making money, collecting cash right away with very low overhead. Okay, so you got a truck that we have a very great program where it's unlimited mile lease, zero money down, fully outfitted, interior and full wrap. And so you can get a truck for very little down. That's why, you know, we're redoing the FDDs coming up here in April, and we're dropping our minimums down like $70,000 because there's so much money saved just by the truck itself. So if you were to buy a vehicle, you know, you got 10% down, you got $5,000-$10,000 down, and then you got to spend $8,000 to outfit the inside, another $3,000-$4,000 to wrap it. And then you got $20,000 of cash flow gone right from your SBA loan or whatever you're doing. Well, all that's gone now, because we have this unlimited mile lease option, very affordable. So being able to find this niche market that's needed. Our biggest problem is people go, I didn't even know professional drywall repair was a thing.
Exactly. Right?
That happens all the time. But then once they get it and they understand. And so you think that the homeowner is our main client or main customer, and they are. I mean, we call her Helen the homeowner. That's our avatar for our homeowner. But that's about 50% of our business. The other 50%, it's all that B2B market. It's when Tesla does a power wall, they always scar the drywall to run that conduit to the electrical part. Well, they need a trusted referral partner to come in to repair that person's home. Who they call? They call us. Why? Because it's a trusted brand. The look and feel is there. So those other B2B partnerships, property managers, restoration companies, HVAC companies, they become the other reoccurring revenue, and they become just like clockwork. Even during the pandemic and recessions, everyone needs a new roof. Everyone's got damage that happens from catastrophic events. And that's where we step in.
So it is B2B and B2C. So you cast a wide net resident. So 140 million homes, and then you have, what, 6 million businesses or commercial properties that also have drywall in there. That's great. How were you, so let's talk about that. How are you acquiring? There's two parts I want to talk about. There's the acquisition of referral sources, right? This isn't just running a coupon and an ad and waiting for a homeowner. Certainly you could do that, but you'd be making way more money if you went after the trades like property managers and whatnot. And then I want to talk about how we're acquiring the actual customer. So talk to us about the referral sources. Who's referring to you? Who should the franchisee be targeting?
Yeah. So we break them into three different phases, right? The first phase is the first 6 months, you've got to do your online marketing heavy. We're pushing a lot of money, pay-per-click ads. We're running the Angie leads. We're running, you know, Home Advisor, Facebook campaigns. All those are live because that's going to bring in the cash flow immediately, right? So the hell of the homeowners, you're going to go into their house, do $500 worth of work, and then they're going to give you a check or credit card number. You walk out the door. That's cash flow. They also leave five-star reviews. So those are the ones who leave five-star reviews. But then the second, third, that's when you're out there, we call it burning shoe leather. You're doing networking events. You're doing cookie drops or donut drops. We have a whole donut hole campaign we're doing now. We're making little tiny donut holes and with a branded box. So you can drop those off, all the property managers, your HVAC companies, restoration companies. You start building relationships with those other B2B businesses. And then all of a sudden you build trust. What's great about those businesses is that's recurring revenue. And they don't necessarily need, I mean, I got companies that send me a work order every day. They don't even want a price. Just come take care of my customer for me. And so you're building those relationships. What could be BNI networks or it could be chambers of commerce, heck, sponsor a little league team in your community because you're in your community. You know your community the best. So figure out where the people are going and get your name out there because brand awareness is key. Top of the mind marketing is essential because you don't need drywall repair until you do, right? And then when you do, you want to make sure that you work top of the mind. Oh, I got that name. You know, your truck is out there on the road. There's a huge billboard, beautiful billboard. And then the third part, that's your reoccurring referral network. That takes 6 months, a year to kind of build where when you're in the Facebook groups, you know, where all the ladies are out there, I need a drywall guy. And then you start getting referred back and forth. Mm-hmm. Maybe the next door app.
Yeah.
People are starting to refer you in that. And then you have trades versus partners or customers that are buying new homes, they're upgrading or they renovate homes. They know they need somebody. I've got one customer, I repaired her bathroom wall 4 times because she locks her dog in there during the day and her dog scratches at the drywall sometimes. Right. And so we keep going back and repairing it because we're trusted to her. That's that reoccurring stuff. So it really is heavy marketing up front. Digital marketing is key, but that's just to get the plate spinning, and then you can go right into your burning shoe leather making relationships.
All right, so that digital campaign is going after Helen the homeowner, right? Got it, right? Yeah. So now we're targeting the end user homeowner. Then you're going after that next phase is the painters, the electricians, the plumbers, the restoration companies, electrical contractors, all that stuff. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, so I mean, I've got 21 solar companies in Orlando alone that use us, right? 40 plus roofing companies, all the restoration companies know us, you know? So sometimes they have their own in-house person. I've got roofers that they have an in-house person, but then all of a sudden that person gets sick or, you know, leaves the company and now they're stuck.
Outsource it.
I'm okay being number two. I've got one referral source, a roofing company here in Orlando. I mean, that's $80,000 a year for one company. You know, that's now you have dozens of those companies and you're underneath your tool belt. And it's just money in the bank.
If you took your revenue, just take your revenue in its entirety and said X percent is coming from Helen the homeowner and X percent is coming from these referral source contractors, what is that mix of business?
In Orlando, it's 50-50.
It is.
It truly is 50-50. Because listen, we do 35, 40 jobs a week in Orlando. I've got 7 full-time crews here. We average between 1,500 and 1,800 jobs a year. Okay. So that's not holes, that's jobs. So we have such a presence and because homeowners need you. we're not just trying to sell you drywall. We're trying to sell you a service that you need. Everyone needs someone like us. We are providing a solution for their problem. They have their teenager just moved out, you know, graduated college. He's now gone. Well, let's get his room cleaned up. Well, he threw the basketball and made holes in the walls. You need us for those things. But you also, the other trusted referral partners, they need us as much as they do too. The cool thing about those is that's recurring revenue over and over again. Mm-hmm. But they're on terms, right? So it's not as cash flowy. But when things slow down on one side, they ramp up on the other.
I like that. And that was one of my questions to you. I viewed this, and this is why I remain open-minded when I have people on the show, but I will tell you, I viewed this as a one and done, right? So I come in, I close, I finish my job, I'm done. I'm always looking for that next customer, but that's not what you just said. There is a recurrence, and you are seeing the repeat business. I want it.
Well, and then those people make you, sorry to cut you off, but the people you do good work for, they are now excited to refer you. They become your sales agents. If you were to go on any of the networking, the Facebook groups for all of the communities that are around, when someone puts a picture up of a damage in the closet for wall repair, we used to go on and tag us. We'd be happy to help you. Let me help you. But before I could even jump on there now, I've got 20 other people that have said, we'll call hole in the wall, call hole in the wall. And then they refer us before we can even jump on that request.
Okay.
Because you build that revenue, because you have such good service.
Go back to the lead aggregation sites as the digital campaign. What are you seeing in terms of like the cost to acquire a customer? Meaning, I'm going to get, and it's your math. I'm just giving you an example of where I'm going with this. I get 10 leads from Home Advisor. How many sits are you doing in the living room? Do you do estimates over the phone? Do you physically have to be there? Do you ask for photographs? How do you streamline and make lead aggregation efficient in your business? You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So Angie's List, Home Advisor, they're challenging because it's speed to lead, right? So if someone jumps in at 8 p.m. at night, if you don't jump on it at 8:01, you've missed out on that lead. And you now have spent $40 on a lead that you're not going to get. So we are very consistent. We've got a process built in place that when the lead comes in, it gets taken care of immediately. But the ROI on those is really hard. Okay, we did a 90-day sample last year where we started in January, we went to March, and we just, let's look at our ROI. We spent X number of dollars. So I spent $3,000 on Angie's List, okay? And I landed X number of jobs. It was 20% that we landed. And the dollar amount on those jobs was like $4,100.
Wow.
So it was just way too expensive. I would rather spend that $3,000 at a local networking event, sponsoring a lunch at a property manager or a realtor's office. That's more money well spent. But you still need to do it because you get those reviews.
That's right.
That's why you said when you Googled us, you'll see, you know, we got Better Business Bureau, we got Angie List, we got all those people because we've done work on them. But this is a short-term endeavor, and we turn it on and off as we need to. But technically, we've been so busy, it's just hard to keep up. You know, you just have so many. You know, for years, it's been 2-3 weeks out. So we've had to turn those off anyways because it's just the lead source is already there.
What is the closing ratio in the home? You're in the home services business. You enter the home, you give an estimate. What is that closing ratio?
Okay. Well, we have inside and outside sales, right? So 70% of most of the repairs that we're doing, there's those smaller repairs, right? They're the smaller holes in the walls. We don't need to do a site visit for that.
Okay.
Because that's windshield time. That's a killer financially. So our process is built, whether it's coming in from a lead source from online or a campaign, our CRM tracks all that, or they just call or text us. Then we get their basic information, where's the job, who's paying for the job, email address, and we send them an email requesting photos. And then they send us some pictures of the walls. Listen, I just told you we do 1,800 jobs a year. If you tell me you got a 2-foot hole in the wall, I can tell you the price is gonna cost you $300. We'll be there on Saturday. I mean, that's how fast it can be. And then we send them an estimate, they approve it, and we get it.
That's what I'm talking about. That is so scalable. Windshield time, fuel costs, labor costs, distraction, everything, right? You look at it's a force multiplying effect when you look at just sending a rep in a vehicle on the road, it's just net sum negative until you get that deal. Absolutely. Seriously.
Well, you have to price yourself out of the market, right? Because, you know, because your competition, whether it be chucking a truck, they'll come in and do the job for $200, but it's not going to be the same. And so we do site visits. So, you know, 30% of the time, I've got one full-time estimator. He does 40 site visits a week.
It's a bigger job. Those are jobs. Yeah, tearing out, you said, tearing out the perimeter of sheetrock 2 feet off the floor because of water damage, wicking up the insulation. I totally get it. Absolutely. But I like what you're saying. You could really be efficient and by leveraging. And I could envision having you back on the show next year and you're using AI. They take a picture. It automatically tells us the size. It automatically tells us the cost of goods, everything. AI is going to add so much efficiency to everyone's business. So I like it. 100%. Do you know the cost to acquire a customer? Use the Home Advisor as an example. You know, 40, 80, is it $150? You said 20% closing ratio on a Home Advisor lead. So at $40 a lead.
Luckily not all 40, could be, you know, $25 a lead. And so if we're doing that generation, it does cost us about $50 a lead.
Okay.
But if I take my marketing budget and divide that by all the jobs that we create, I'm literally at $2 a lead. I mean, we just don't spend. I mean, I spend a couple thousand bucks on marketing and I do a month, and then I do, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month just in that stuff. So it becomes just a 10% or less. You know, I don't advertise or anything if it's more than 10%.
Love it. You got to be disciplined. I like it. You're disciplined. Yeah. Talk to me about proprietary systems. I love anything in a brand that's proprietary. Do you have anything proprietary that you built, designed?
Absolutely.
What do you have? Uh-huh.
A couple things is one, the typical drywall person will go to the house and they install the drywall and they put the first coat of mud on it, right? And then they got to leave, let it dry, and they come back the next day and they sand it, maybe put a second coat of mud on it. And then they'll come back maybe the third day, if you can get them to come back. Mm. And they'll come back and maybe they'll be able to texture it for you, right? So we use other products that are way faster. So take that doorknob hole. It literally is a half an hour, 45 minutes, and we're done, textured. Leave it alone for a day, you can paint it, right? It's not really proprietary, but we've really learned how to work the system because, again, windshield time's the killer. If I can do three or four $400 jobs a day with one technician in a truck,
and not have to go back same day. That is critically important, in and out.
So then we have some other things because texture is very difficult to match. So we have built a texture machine that will allow us to do a repair in a knockdown ceiling, which, if you know what knockdown is probably the hardest repair to match, texture to match. But and if you go on a YouTube channel, you'll see there's tons of examples of us doing this very successfully. But it's a pressurized machine that we built. It's a lot of off-the-shelf parts that we just modify, technically. But those are the little tricks, little secret sauce that gets us to do the matches just right. And those are there for us. Plus, our training is proprietary. I don't know what other competitions out there and what their training's like, but I know that our training is second to none. It's fabulous because you can't scale if you can't find employees to work for you that are trained.
Right.
So we've just spent... I could talk on and on about our training. So
yeah, I mean, please. I love the name. Mm-hmm. School of Rock Academy.
School of Rock, Drywall Academy.
I love it.
I'm a musician, so it kind of fits. Behind me, that door is another warehouse, and that's our School of Rock Academy. We have an 1,100 square foot facility that we've built a fake house in. You know, it's got 10-foot ceilings. It's got a bathroom. It's got ceiling fans and all the different textures that you can use, corner bead, bullnose, archways, they're all there. And so we have a training course. All the franchisees go through them. All of our employees go through them. It's a 2-week course where they learn the franchisees, the admin side. The first week is how to market, how to use a CRM, how to do an estimate. Here's the culture of the business. Here's how you grow a community and you get a family unit. And while that happens, their technicians are doing ride-alongs side by side with my technician. So they're out there in the field because the repair is one thing, but handling the interaction with the homeowner, collecting the money, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, watch them how they actually take the care and cover and prep the entire area, right? So those are things that you have to see for yourself. And the second week, everyone gets their hands dirty. We just blast holes in the walls, and we teach them how to run base trim. We teach them how to match texture, how to cover everything. We run what we call the three C's, cover, complete, clean, right? That's key to us, because if you can take an extra 5 minutes of covering, of prepping the floor, covering that television, you're going to save yourself a half an hour or more of cleaning on the back end, right? But you have to complete it to the hole-in-the-wall standards, which we train. So the problem that I realized we would have is, if someone comes here for weeks worth of just hands-on dirty drywall training, that's like trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant. How are they going to remember that, right? Well, so I've got a production studio, as you see I'm in right now. So we videotape all of our training. So I've got a training app on the phone. We use Trainual. It's got 300 subjects currently with over 50 videos. That's just itemized from how to answer the phone. Our entire franchise manual, I got a book. It's all digitized. It's all searchable. So all the forms are downloadable. If your technician is in the middle of Boise, Idaho, and they run into a stimple texture they've not seen before, all you got to do is go on Trainual.
Love it.
And you say, hey, man, stimple. And they find it. It's right there for them.
You built all this. You built all this. Images, everything. Nice.
Yep. All there.
That's nice. And you're a young franchisor. You put all this together already.
Yeah. So we probably could have launched a franchise a couple years earlier, but I'm such a perfectionist. I just wanted to have all my ducks in a row. I kind of want to be the unfranchiser, because I don't want to have to try to fix the car while we're driving. I wanted to kind of make sure it was dialed in prior to launching too many units.
I love the School of Rock. 2 weeks. That's impressive. Listen, I was the executive vice president of Puriclean, and I was also one of their largest franchisees in Annapolis, Maryland. And like
one of our very close partners are Puriclean.
I bet. You made a comment before about, in our next FDD, we're going to reduce the investment to 70. Which right now you're 87.9 to 170. Are you saying that the low end investment will begin at 70 and work its way up to 170?
I think it's going to be like 110, maybe 100.
Really?
It's small. Because let's look at your startup costs. Because I did not have the unlimited miles, zero money down truck leasing before. So all my existing locations, they had to spend that kind of money to get their vehicles, get it all wrapped, all taken care of. But when we got that, and then we have all these other units that are already open, they spent, a couple $1,000 a month in ad spend. You know, that's absolutely what you have to do. And of course, they pay all the technology fees that we have, but we've got a very robust CRM system. We've got a very robust phone system. And so they get all that as part of their package. I've got an in-house marketing team that they use that has run my brand for the past 7 years. I house them in my warehouse. It's a female, better-known business. Fabulous. Anything you see on Facebook, on YouTube, they're all runs through that company. So that's where the consistency comes in. So there's so much money to be saved. So if you don't have a brick-and-mortar location, and you start with one vehicle, it's really low startup. You got to pay yourself, obviously, or you got your employees, because typically it's more an executive model. So it's not an owner operator. It's by two or three territories. You've got a general manager or owner. Then you've got, one or two employees. Our goal is to have you scale to a second truck minimum by 6 months. That's our goal for you.
Okay. Go back though. You made a comment. I'm not sure I understood. So the limitations, every franchisor wants to send their franchisees to go get a vehicle lease. With vehicle leases, you have mileage restrictions. I didn't catch how you navigated around the mileage issue.
I found a company. I was actually at a franchise show, and they were one of the vendors at the franchise show in Houston, Texas. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like leases. I don't want to be limited to 12 or 15,000 miles a year and all that stuff. And they're like, oh, no, it's unlimited mile leasing.
That's excellent. That's great to know.
Delivered to the door for free.
That's a value add to the audience, because anyone listening that wants to be in-home services, whether it's your brand or just something vehicle-based, that is a golden nugget right there. Are you willing to share the name of the company, or is this something that you want to protect?
No, that's fine. Apple Leasing is the company, and they're out of Austin, Texas.
Apple Leasing.
But they run a great company, and they sell new and used vehicles. You can buy them from there if you want to. But what we wanted to do was make it easier to scale. So let's say you have the money to buy your first truck, but what about your second truck? Do you got $20,000 cash laying around for your second truck? No. It's a matter of fact. It's just you pick up the phone, right from the other truck, 30 to 45 days later, it delivers to your doorstep. And now you put another technician in that truck, you're making money. Because the only way to really succeed in this business is to have multiple,
absolutely,
multiple vehicles. One truck, you'll make a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. It's great. But you want to make it $1 million a year, you better have several trucks.
Right on. And that brings me to a question, because typically in these service-based businesses where there's one tech, there's a lot of business where there's two people in that van. I'm hearing from you, there's only one person driving the van, there's only one person on the job, right? There's no, you don't,
for smaller jobs, of course, right? Yeah.
So, that being said, how much revenue can a vehicle generate? So a vehicle on the road, annualized basis, what is your expectation of revenue for one vehicle?
To start, it'll be, so let's take more land location. I got seven vehicles here. Okay. So I got seven full-time leads. Some crews are doing what we call the hit and run work. That's the little smaller areas. You're doing three, four jobs a day. And those trucks can minimum $150 a year, okay? Minimum for one tech in a truck. Typically, I've got post-high school students that are doing that now. They're just out there making money for us. And then I've got the guys who are doing those larger restoration-style jobs. They might be 2 or 3 days, 4 days. And those trucks are making, in Orlando, on average, between $250 and $350 a year.
Okay.
$350,000 a year. So we did, you know, $1.3 million. And I had seven trucks, and, you know, just we do the math. It averages out to about $225,000. But I can't guarantee that.
No, obviously, I understand. I'm not allowed to. No, I understand. Tell that to it's my a general statement. But. Right. We're not making an earnings claim other than the item 19, where the corporate location P&L is showing $1.3 million. Doesn't it also show net? What is the net?
So our net's 32%.
Wow.
So that's our net on it. And frankly, that's an adjusted P&L. Okay. So if you look at our item 19, it's adjusted because I have training facilities and podcasts. And so we'd remove some of those things from the P&L, but there's still a lot in the P&L that is, I think that the franchisees won't have, you know, they won't have the robust phone system that I have. They won't have, you know, I have more marketing expenses than they're going to have. You know, I buy a lot of pens and tchotchkes and, you know, giveaways, you know, they're not going to have that. My uniform expense is way bigger. Theirs is going to be because I've got, you know, 14 full-time employees.
Right.
So I think that they're going to, but I can't guarantee this, but I think they're going to weigh to way more than 32%.
Wow. That's great. I notice you have a vet discount, which is great. I could see vets, first responders taking to an industry like this, which is great. Do you see your brand evolving in that direction where we're just going to take the call center in-house? We're just going to have their trucks come straight to our call center to be answered. How do you envision the growth of your model?
So there is a potential for that. We don't have enough units now to have a dedicated call center. So our phone system will ring either to us because we have our 1-800 or our 844 no holds, our toll free number. And the franchisees, usually the first 3 months, they come to us first anyways. Mm-hmm. Here's my problem with doing estimates and doing bookings at a corporate level. First of all, it's a lot of work and headache, and I got to charge my franchisees for that expense, which I'm trying to keep their monthly cost low. But secondly is that each territory is different, right? So I'm selling a territory in Boston, hopefully next month. Well, you know, the cost of living in Boston is different than Orlando. So what I charge $200 for here might be $600 there. And so there's no way for us in corporate to really know the nuances of their community. And frankly, I want the business owner for each location to be the face of their location. So don't just have this be a corporate run location. You're the one out there doing their own podcast, doing their own meet and greets and, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies at all these networking events. That's the personal touch that makes us different.
Okay. I like that. I could see you evolving in that way and just controlling everything. And it's becoming a theme in franchising, where the brands are just taking on more and more responsibility. But I do get I don't know the competitive landscape. I don't know what's happening in that market, right? It's like a handyman. Right. It's like any business.
Yeah. I may see in the map as a five mile drive, you know, but in Boston, 5 miles could take you 45 minutes.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I know. And your royalty is reasonable. You're doing a 6% royalty, 2% ad fee.
6%.
Yeah. I mean, for home services, I think that's reasonable. And then again, like you said, if you start taking in-house services, you're just going to have to tack a fee on top of it and say, hey, when you get a lead from the National Call Center, you're going to pay a premium for it so you can offset those costs. Yeah.
And it's a service. So if you're starting out and you don't have time to answer the phone, I guess it's a benefit. But I'm trying to find those franchisees, those business owners that really want to be the face of their brand. Don't buy a job. Let's build an empire together.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. Get out there, hunt and kill and close deals and follow your third, a third, a third. Follow your model. Ramp up your digital. Ramp up your B2B. Get some outside salespeople. Start targeting all of these contractors. I completely agree with you. And I like the way you build in a brand. It's sustainable. What do we look like today? How many corporate locations? How many franchisees in operation or sold, not open? You tell me what you want to tell me.
We're very merging. So we just signed with Fran Growth in the last year. So we currently have headquarters in Orlando. That's about six territories that we run out of the Orlando location. And then we have sold two other territories adjacent to us. So our first two locations were right there. Then we signed with Fran Growth and we just signed the deal on west side of Philadelphia, the suburbs of Philadelphia. And then we're now... That's the only one in the pipeline, and we've got dozens more in the pipeline that I've got to meet the team day in 2 weeks, and I've got, I think, four couples that are coming down from all over St. Louis, Boston, you name it. You know, we just had Nashville here last month, so we anticipate us having several units just by summertime.
Good for you. Good. I'm happy for you. It's nice. Look, it's a double edge, right? So a lot of people listening, every major market is available. When you ask, do you have territory availability in Houston and Austin and the biggest, best cities in America? The answer is yes. It's wide open.
And listen, right now, I'm the one who puts my hands around all of my owners. For my first 10, 20 locations, you know, you have me in your pocket.
That's right.
All the time. I was on a call last night for an hour and a half with my Philadelphia guy because he was just so excited. We're talking through marketing opportunities. It's like, you have my brain available to you. This, you know, when we get too big, I'll scale that back some. But right now, jump in now. You still have my full.
You're exactly right. You're putting belt by being they're interacting with you, right? It's putting belt and suspenders on their success. Yes, there'll come a time that you have 150 locations and you're not going to be that accessible. But right now, what is the benefit of getting in early, primary market, and you're working with the guy?
We're not just here to tell you. It's our way or the highway. We're here to work with our owners, and it's reciprocal. I've got people who are MIT graduates that are my franchise owners now. It's like these are people with MBAs that we're now bouncing ideas off of. So what we have now is amazing. What we're going to have in a year from now is going to be light years different because we just have this collaboration effect of all these smart, bright, brilliant business owners who wanted to fire the boss and become their own boss and create an empire in their location.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, I've been doing this over 20 years now, and it's like, I assume now by now people realize you do not need direct industry experience to buy this brand. For people listening, it's like, man, this sounds like a really cool opportunity, but I don't know how to throw mud on a wall and feather it. You don't have to. As a matter of fact, James would prefer that you never do that. Like work on the business, not in the business. Get out there with his third, a third, a third, right? Do those things. Hire, fire, train, online reputation management. That's what the franchisee should be doing, not putting mud on a wall and doing all that stuff. So thank you for bringing that up. It's so true. I love it. You are part of a $500 billion home improvement industry. $500 billion.
Yes.
And if you take your subset of it, you're $13 billion. It is
that.
Remarkable.
Wow.
They're calling for $700 billion by 2032.
Absolutely. I mean, you can find the brand website is holeinthewall.com. More about the franchising is holeinthewallfranchising.com. And there's also a button on holeinthewall.com. We do run a business podcast called the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. We're my partner and I, we chat. It's not a drywall podcast. We talk about small business. We talk about... So we have smart business people. I'll have attorneys and CPAs and talk about partnership agreements. And we talk about marketing and just you name it. We had a construction company in just last Tuesday. It drops every Tuesday all over YouTube, Spotify, iHeart. We've been doing 2 years. We've got 130 episodes in.
That's right.
Love to listen. I'm looking for guests to come on that show. Sit down the road. If anyone thinks that their business would qualify to be a guest, I'd love to have it. If anything, it's just a resource for someone who doesn't necessarily know, you know, you can be a good mechanic, but not a good business owner of a mechanic shop. And they don't really teach you this in high school. So
that's right.
We're just here to partner with people and help them. Don't do business in a vacuum.
Love it. Very good. Really enjoyed getting to know you, your brand. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to spend it with me. And thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit subscribe for more great content. And if you're thinking about investing in a franchise, whether it's the one you just heard about or another opportunity, reach out to us at cliffn@franocity.com. That's cliffn@franocity.com. We look forward to working with you.